We just have habits, however, that we carry. Patterns of sinning. But God is saying, I'm bringing you into a new season of your life, and you need to prune that out.
Yeah, but we used to sit in the lunchroom and tell jokes, and that little off color, but you know, I mean, it kind of gave us some camaraderie.
But it won't now.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. What did Jesus mean when he said that he wanted us to bear fruit? What happens if we don't? How do we begin? Today, Pastor Wayne will bring you a message that will help you learn to become the fruitful person God designed you to be. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Secret of Fruitful Relationships.
Let's read what John 15:2 says. Ready? Go. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Hebrews 6 talks about, as he continues to give a little bit more detail and context, he's going to talk about six elementary principles of Christ that need to be foundational principles. I mean, just foundational. Like first grade stuff, remedial. You need to have that like no-brainer. And it says here that the very first of these six will be a thing called dead works that we need to take out of our lives. Let's read that scripture. Ready? Go. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Would you underline that? Repentance from dead works. That's the first in the list of six that the Bible says this. Now listen carefully. Here's what he's saying. You will not be able to press on to maturity or fruitfulness if you are struggling with foundational elementary principles of Christ. Therefore, leaving these foundational principles, let's press on to maturity. And the first one you need to make sure it's in place, it's foundational, not struggling with it, is repentance from dead works. What's that? Activities in our life that bear no fruit. And you can't struggle with it. Just snip it off. A relationship that's not bearing any fruit. Well, what kind of stuff? Well, it's excessive television, let's say, for example. Where you just watch that hours and hours upon end and you're just brain dead. It's like you got a dial tone going through your head for 6 hours. And when it's done, you've invested 6 hours in nothing. Excessive movies. Not going to movies or watching television. Excessive stuff like that. Excessive time on Nintendo or Sega where you're just doing this for hours on end. It eats up. After a while, you add them up over 4, 5, 6 years. They took about 2 years of your life. So what it's doing is taking sap and putting it into nothing. God says pruning that stuff should be a no-brainer. See, if you're struggling with that, yeah, but I want. And the Lord says, you'll never move on to fruitfulness because you're struggling with, should I prune that dead branch? I don't know. I kind of like it. It's dead. It's not producing any fruit and never will. God says, that should be a no-brainer. That's off. Don't give it a funeral. Don't cry over it. Don't mourn. Just poof, done. He says, take it away. Throw it in the fire. It's basic. If you're struggling with that, you'll never move to fruitfulness. Sort of like a guitarist. If he wants to lead worship and learn guitar, he can't be struggling with basic chords like G or C chord. Otherwise, he'll say, okay, let's sing the song. Ready? Oh, chotamate, wait. You got to put this finger right here. This, think right here. Let me try. Okay. Okay, now sing. Okay, wait. One more chord. Let me see this one over here. Okay, I think like that. Okay, let's try again. Okay. Well, you'll never sing the song because you're struggling with basic chords. Those chords should just be automatic, no brainer. This just has to be there. Then you can sing the song. See, a lot of times we're saying, how come I can't sing the song? Because you're struggling with basic chords, basic principles, and you've got to get them down. And one of them is repentance from dead works. If it's not going to bear any fruit, boom, it's off. Don't struggle with it. Don't fight over it. Don't mourn over it. You've got to be able to do that. Because, see, no one's going to do that for you. If you want to keep all those branches and sucks all the nutrients out of your life just to keep it there, then you'll never be fruitful. But by this is my Father glorified. Not that you have a lot of branches on your tree, but that you bear much. So you need to know how to prune so that that sap goes to the fruit-bearing branches. But no one's going to do it for you. Now, when you're young, others will correct you. But would you write in your notes, when you correct yourself, the ability to correct yourself begins the season of maturity. The ability to correct yourself. Now watch this meter. This is your first part of life when you're young, then you're adolescent, and then let's say this is your adult time. Now this could be also in your growth within the Lord. In the beginning, people are going to correct you. When I was young, others corrected me because I didn't want to correct myself. Children will not correct themselves. That's why the scripture says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound up. Children will not correct themselves. They need someone to correct them. So that's why when I was young, my dad would chase me to try and discipline me with a stick or a hose. But I was faster than him. But he would chase me to discipline me. Well, in your adolescent years, you still require others to discipline you, but this time you're a little bit more open to them. So when they correct you, you need to do this. You need to get in at this time. Okay, I know. Yeah, okay, I messed up. All right, clean your room. Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, the infestation of rats are getting a little too much. I'll clean it. So at least you start to agree a little bit with the correction. But there's going to come a time in your life when you go into college or you get married or you start to get a little bit more stature in life. You own your own business or you make a certain amount of money. You get a position or a promotion. After a while, nobody's going to correct you. They stop. Does that mean you no longer need correcting? No. In fact, at that point, when you make decisions, they're far more reaching and you need more correction. But nobody's going to correct you from this point on. So it doesn't mean you don't need correcting. It just means from this point on, you have to what? Correct yourself. You become a boss or somebody and someone says, you see what the boss did? Yeah, oh man, you're going to tell them, no way, I want to keep my job. Well, I ain't telling them either. Well, nobody tells you. But fruitfulness or maturity only begins when you learn to correct yourself. And if you can bring that meter down as far as you can, then your fruit bearing begins even earlier. But it has to be where you correct yourself. That's when maturity begins. Let's read what Paul says to Timothy in this next verse. Ready? Go. Discipline yourself for the purpose of... Underline the first two words, would you? Discipline who? Ah. And let's see what Peter says. Ready? Go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time. Underline those two first words. Humble whom? Yourself. You see, what God is saying is that when you're able to correct yourself, then it begins the season of fruitfulness in your life. You must begin to correct yourself. It's sort of like this. Say they transplant one of these adolescent trees like you see in the median strips in Hawaii, and they take the burlap, wrap it around the roots, and they bring it in, drop it into a hole, cover it with dirt. Now, it looks like on the outside it's a strong tree, but really on the inside it's not strong because the roots haven't taken yet. So on the outside they have to put support wires, you've seen those, or guy wires that hold that tree accountable so that when the wind blows, it doesn't kill it or knock it over. So the strength for that tree, although it looks strong on the outside, it is not. It's weak on the inside. So there's external supports, external guidelines to keep it strong during this time of formation. Now, once the roots take, then they can snip these support wires because they no longer need the support on the outside or externally, because it now has strength where? Inside or internally, as the roots grow deep. Now let me speak to those who are in this adolescent stage, whether you're in junior high or high school or college. Sometimes we say, you know, my dad or my mom, you got to be in at this time, and they just treat me like a kid. How come? Well, it's because you are. Now, if you want those lines cut, then each line that you want cut, that external support, it can only be cut if you take that anchor from the outside and put it where? On the inside. And now they can cut that. If they don't, they cut it too soon, the first wind, kaboom. And what happens? It affects your destiny. You lop off, you mess up, you forfeit what could have been fruit bearing because of a mistake, and you didn't have internal strength. And so once there's internal strength, then you can snip the outside because there's strength on the inside. There's sometimes you look strong, you look mature on the outside, but there's no strength yet on the inside. So there needs to be those support wires. Don't fight against them. You fight against them, you'll be above all the most foolish. Because the first wind that goes bang, you're finished. And you affect your destiny. Parents, we must understand that. And even though they fight against those guy wires, don't let it go. Because of love, we discipline. With love, we support. We hold that. Now, I speak back again to those in adolescent stages. If you want that change, then you need to make sure that that anchors go on the inside. So there'll be a time when someone says, hey, let's stay at this party. You know, no, I'm going to head on home. Hey, come on. Your parents aren't forcing you to do this. Oh, doesn't matter. It's just time for me to go home. Ah, you're beginning to correct yourself. Now starts your season of true fruitfulness because you've learned to begin to put strength on the inside. Critical stage. So you start pruning these that are dead works, and you've got to do this for yourself. And it has to be a no-brainer. It has to be something that is foundational. It's a basic principle. This is not bearing fruit. Boom. That's not bearing fruit. Boom. The second stage of pruning is a little tougher. And that is not the dead works. That's a dead branch, bang. That's a dead branch, bang. That's pretty easy. But the second, let's say out of 100 branches, 50 are dead, so you streamline it. But you still have 50 more, of which 25 will pull the sap from the other fruitful branches. You need to find the second stage of pruning, a little tougher. These are the branches that might have one scrub apple or one or two scrub apples. But it takes like 10 gallons of sap to produce two scrub apples, when if pruned, that same amount of sap would go to another branch and would produce 100 apples on another branch. This one here produces some fruit, but it's less than what should be produced. Those are the ones that go next. A little tougher because you say, well, there's some validity to it, but the Lord says those have to be pruned. That is what? Number two, would you write down in your notes, lesser dreams. Lesser dreams. These are activities or dreams that you've had or desires that you had, but it does not produce the amount of fruit that God wants. Let's read what he says. Ready? Go. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. The disciples struggled with that, with lesser dreams. They were out fishing. That was a pretty good occupation. But when Jesus said, follow me, he gave them a far greater call, far greater cause, a far greater dream that caused other dreams to pale in respect to his call. And it says this. Let's read what took place. Ready? Go. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. How did they? They left how? Immediately. Did you see that? By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Disciples prune immediately the lesser dreams. No brainer, dead works. What are lesser dreams? Lesser dreams are desires that might have some fruit, but not quite what God wants. A relationship that might give you some measure of companionship, but you know in the end it's not going to bear the fruit that God wants you to bear in your life. That needs to be something we go snip. It's a little tougher because there's a couple of scrub apples, and I mean, I like the companionship and this or that, but I have often talked to some people that are in a dead-end relationship with a guy or a girl that refuses to want to be someone who follows Christ. After 12 years, they finally break this relationship off. And I said, why did it take you so long to prune? 12 years of your life was extended into that, and it's only a couple of scrub apples. Do you know what could have been if you put that into something else? Start now. Don't make that something you struggle with. Excessive involvement in other things, even games or sports. I remember for a couple of years in Hilo, I was not only involved with, but I was obsessed with running. I was training for some marathons, and I got so into it, I was running 10 miles every morning. I'd get up at 4:30, this is every morning, 5 o'clock, my sneakers were hitting the streets, running to Kau and back, and that was rain or shine, and in Hilo, it's mostly rain. And so I'd go to Kau, and I'd be just drenched, and these cane trucks would be going by, and just 10 miles, 5 o'clock I'd start. By about 5:15, I'm back, you know. But a little longer. And so every morning, then I was reading magazines. I was getting all of the regalia, you know, the running stuff. And oh, man, I was so into it. Ran 4 marathons, every 10K, a half marathon, whatever it might be, I'd be running. And I mean, I was skin and bones. I was just so thin. And I thought after a while, wait a minute. Now, if God had called me to be a runner by profession, then that's okay. But he was actually calling me to be a shepherd, but I was putting in an inordinate amount of nutrients or energy or sap into this, and it wasn't bearing the fruit. Oh, it was some fruit because it was good exercise, but it was inordinate. It was obsession. And God says, Wayne, that's not the branch that I want you to have as your main branch. It's this one. And the sooner you prune it, the better. Now, I still exercise, I still run, but not to that excessive amount that takes up half my life. And so God says, prune that back. That doesn't mean sports are wrong. It's good for exercise. But if you're surfing for 8 hours a day till limu's growing out of your ears, then maybe I need to prune that back. Unless he's calling you to be a professional surfer and you know that that's what God's called you to do. But you need to look for that main thing, that main branch, what God's calling you to do. Parents, that's why the scripture says, train up a child in the way that you want him to go, he should go. And when he's older, he'll not depart from it. Because what you're doing is you're helping him find what God has called him to be. When I was in the 8th grade, God called me into the ministry. I refused and rejected until I was 19, then I accepted it. But I remember in the 8th grade, I had a dream placed in my heart of what God wanted me to be. In the 8th grade, God can be speaking to young people. And so we need to be helping with those guide wires and training them in the way that they should go, God's dream for them. And so as you look and you see what God's calling you to do and then prune out lesser dreams, you'll begin to develop a life filled with fruitfulness. And then finally, number 3, the habit of sin, or habits of sin. What do you mean, habits of sin? Well, you see, you're not here because you intentionally want to hurt people or intentionally want to sin. We just have habits, however, that we carry of sin, patterns of sinning, patterns of gossiping, or patterns of just sitting in the lunchroom and kind of slandering people. And it worked for us back here because it kind of gave us some camaraderie. But God is saying, I'm bringing you into a new season of your life and you need to prune that out. Well, it was fruitful back here, but it won't be now. Because what worked for you back then, in some measure, is now going to start to work against you from this point on. Yeah, but we used to sit in the lunchroom and tell jokes and a little off color. But, you know, I mean, it kind of gave us some camaraderie. But it won't now. It won't now. That's why he says, let's read the scripture together under number 3. Ready? Go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all. He's saying, purify your heart. You see, you used to do that. You used to get angry with people, and that kept them at bay. You used to use your moods to punish people, get them sorry for you. And that may have worked back then, but it ain't going to work now. It's time to put that away. Bracket that to your old life. When I was growing up, I was always the shortest in my class. And then we moved to Oregon for a while, and I was competing against the guys from Oregon that were twice as tall and twice as fast. So I learned to be a scrapper. When they went home from track, I stayed on the track. And I kicked up cinders, and I kept practicing the sprints and pole vaulting and triple jump when they were home. And that's the only way I could keep up and compete with them, what turned me into a scrapper and real competitive. Now, what worked for me then will start to work against me now if I don't prune that out of my life and change. It's not sin, but they're habits that will cause me to sin or miss the mark. Those I need to prune as well if I'm going to come to my final stage of fruitfulness. Because when you get married, you can't be like that. You got to change. If I like things my way, that's great. But once you get married, you got another person there to think of. And we got to change that pattern. Because a lot of times, sin is, they're just habits that we've accumulated. Isn't that right? Just have a habit of talking about people, a habit of gossiping. It's not because we want to destroy people. It's just baggage that we've carried into this new season. And God is saying, oh, it may have worked for you a bit back then, but it's going to start to work against you if you don't prune it out. And you've got to change that. Habits. But habits are learned. So if habits are learned, they can be unlearned. Competitiveness, just excessive. Then I became a Christian. I was in Bible college playing basketball. I would start to get kicked out of the game by the referees because I was so competitive. And not only out of the game, there's a couple of times I had to leave the gym and go home in the middle of the game. I mean, they kicked me out of the gym. And I thought, I got to change this a little bit here. I remember when it really came to bear on me was when Amy was about 8 years old. We were in the family room and she brought the checkerboard in. She said, Daddy, let's play checkers. And I looked at it and thought, I'm good at checkers. I said, set it up. And I set it up. And so she moved one and I started just setting myself up. Finally, she made one dumb move that I wanted her to make. And yes, and I took the same one, whack, 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 ate all her checkers off the board. And I looked at her and she was crying. I said, what are you crying about? She said, you're mean. I said, no, I'm good. And she got up and walked away. I said, you get back here. We're going to play game two, you know. And she wouldn't play with me anymore. You see, what worked for me back then is going to start working against me now in relationships. If I don't understand how to prune it and bracket it to that season, and now it's a new season. And if I understand fruitfulness and maturity, I've got to understand the stages of pruning. And when you do, then you start to see fruitfulness, because by this is my Father glorified. Not that you have a lot of branches, but that you understand pruning in order to bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Ask God to help you to prune so that he will begin to shape you according to his word, the man that he wants you to be, the way to think, the woman that he wants you to be, the way to act. And he'll reveal that, unfold that through your reading of the word and journaling. And then you say, that's the person you want me to be, huh, Lord? And you begin to prune accordingly. And then when that happens, God will see not only individuals and families, but a church that's shaped beautifully as the bride of Christ. And you begin to blossom and you're fruitful. Because you see, fruitfulness or fruit is what people come to get. See, people don't eat the bark necessarily off a tree or leaves or branches. They are sustained by the what? Fruit. And God wants us to be fruitful because that's how we give life and influence to others. Not just branches and limbs, but fruit. And that's what makes for fruitful relationships where people are come, they're refreshed by you, sustained by you, because you understand the principle of fruit bearing and how it requires correct or wise pruning. And then the church becomes not only a sheltering place, but a place that gives refreshing and nutrients and health. And that's called the church. That's what God is shaping us up to be. Let's do that. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of the message, The Secret of Fruitful Relationships, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dale Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.